Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you through the name of God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ in unity with the Holy Spirit, the one true and triune God. Amen. Today I picked to do this message on the first reading, the Old Testament reading. So if you will open your bulletin to that reading and try to follow along, all of the lessons are meant to fit in with each other, and you will see segments of what's said in Old Testament and what's said in the Epistle and what's said in the Gospel all can be tied together. We will try to do that. But I picked as the main verse to share with you, especially that this is LWML Sunday, and we know that women's organization of our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has been so active in supporting missionaries and all kinds of missionary projects to reach people who do not know our Savior Jesus Christ, and therefore they do not yet know the way to everlasting life or heaven. And that is the final verse that was read of Ezekiel 18, verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. I wonder how many of you out there have read through the book of Ezekiel. I won't ask you to raise your hand. Those of you who read the Bible through annually probably have covered the whole ground of Ezekiel. And I have to confess that this is the first sermon I've ever tried to preach on Ezekiel, and especially this reading. It's very intriguing. But Ezekiel the prophet lived and prophesied around 571 BC, a long time ago. And his situation was one that he was one of those captive Israelites living in Babylon. You see, Babylon had conquered the nation of Israel, which was divided at that time into two sections, Judea, Jerusalem, and then Israel. They swept down and captured Samaria, that was the capital, took all away, many, even the king, back to Babylon with them. Let them live there, let them work there, and so they were all doing fairly well there. And so Ezekiel is ministering and preaching to them. He's sort of a street preacher. Have you ever run across a street preacher? And you stopped and you listened avidly to everything he was saying. Well, he was kind of like that, but they didn't listen very avidly to all the things that Ezekiel was trying to tell them, because he was telling them that the reason that Israel was taken into captivity was because of their sins and iniquities and turning away from God who had allowed them to come and conquer that land. And they were involved in all kinds of, if you study Ezekiel, you see all kinds of debaucheries, all kinds of idol worship, and they forgot all about the God who had redeemed them. And so they were carried away into captivity. Now, this is the second generation coming from those people who were in captivity. You've got to remember that. And so they are the ones right now in this particular lesson that we have before us, whom Ezekiel was talking to. And the word that God gave him was that the rest of the Israelites who were still there in captivity were still there as a result of the other generation's sins and rebellion. And that generation was there who was doing well, having jobs, normal family life, and so on, as well much as possible. They kept feeling that God was unjust to them by not letting them get back to their nation of Israel. And so that is something that's very key here. And when I read a part of that first few verses, I really had to, what in the world is he talking about? And so look at it. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Verstehen Sie? Do you all understand that? Do we have any interpreter with us this morning? But it is interesting what that means, that proverb that they had at that time. And they were complaining because they felt God was being unjust in leaving them there in captivity. And so they remembered the fathers that had eaten sour grapes. That was that generation before them who had been taken captivity. And now this generation that Ezekiel is talking to are those who had been born to them while they were still in captivity. And so they're saying, we know our fathers had that sour punishment that came upon them because of their iniquity, but we are another generation. We still acknowledge Yahweh, but they did not realize that they also were living sinful lives in their daily life in rebellion against God. And that's where the words come, where we read here, the children's teeth are set on edge. They're saying, even though our forefathers did all that and were punished for it, and we're here suffering for them, and now they had that sourness, now we've got still that bitter taste in our mouth because you, God, are unjust. You're allowing us who not sin like they did to stay here in Babylon. And so you are an unjust God. And therefore, they come there in the lesson, you see, where they will make a judgment and say, God is not just because he's allowing us, poor, innocent people in captivity who are so pure, they didn't say that, of course, to remain there. And God had a purpose for all of this, was to discipline and bring them to a renewal of faith and to repentance. And that's what he was preaching here about repentance. And you look at this text, and it says that they did not understand really God's law or God's judgment of them. And so they say here in the text, yet the house of Israel continues to say, this is God, or Ezekiel speaking, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, because everyone according to his ways declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your ways, lest your iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. So turn to me and live. So what are you saying to them? Look, you, all of you who are still in our captivity, who claim that I'm unjust, look how you're living. You're living in rebellion yet against me. You're committing all the same sins that your forefathers committed when they were in Israel and were punished for that. So don't say to me that I'm being unjust because I'm allowing you to stay here in captivity at this time, which is still part of a learning process. Repent and live, he says. So here God is saying that each person is responsible for their own sins, no matter where they live, no matter what their circumstances, they are responsible for sins. And Paul in Romans tells us clearly what the wages of sin are. The wages of sin is death. And by that death word, we don't mean just the death of the body, But that was eternal death in hell. That was a spiritual death of the soul and so on. All of that is wrapped up in that word death here. And Paul in Romans says, none is righteous. And he's almost saying the same thing that Ezekiel has been saying. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, no, not even one. What a declaration. And that's all according to Scripture, because all of us are born with original sin in the beginning. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, David said. And so that's what all of us, we're born in this original sin, and from that original sin becomes actual sins of thought, of word, and of deed. You can place all of those sins probably under that those three categories. And that's what God is warning them about. You know, and we Christians too need to remember that we still have the old man living in us. And he causes us to sin by thought, word, and deed. That's a sinful self that Paul talks about also in Romans. Years ago, I used to watch the Ed Sullivan Show. I don't know whether any of you ever watched that or not. We have a lot of seniors here. I know you probably watched it. But anyway, on that show, they had Flip Wilson. Some of you may remember Flip. And whenever he did something that was bad or wrong, you know his favorite saying? The devil made me do it. And so he was just covering up, you know, the devil made me do it. I'm not going to blame God or anyone else. The devil is the one who made me do it. You know, there's a lot of people today in our world who play what I call the game, this blame game. You know, we have people that are living in all kinds of sin and rebellion, and I've heard this said, I was born this way, I can't help it. So I'm not going to change. I can't help it. That's the way it is. Or some will say who have stumbled and fallen and against their better thoughts and judgments say, my peer groups have too strong of an influence on my life. Or I was taught in schools that what I'm doing is not wrong. It's okay. So I do it. Or there's that desire for riches that leads people into all kinds of covetousness today. And they will make the excuse, well, there are too many temptations in our culture. Even some Christians may sometimes make those kinds of thoughts whenever they find themselves drifting into the ways of the world in a sinful lifestyle. Well, Ezekiel is only proclaiming that those who live in sin will be punished for their personal sins with temporal, spiritual, and eternal death. And he declares there is not a person upon earth who does good and sins not. And my dear friends, that includes me, that includes you. And that is so true. David, in Psalm 51, after he had committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, was reprimanded for that by the prophet Nathan. And then he goes in penitence to God and says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And so that's what we need to do when we come before God. Any day of our life, all of us who are still claim to be Christians and followers of Christ, we stumble and fall. If you sometimes in the old hymn books, I don't know whether they're in the new one or not, used to have a back pages where you could go through all the Ten Commandments and used to have questions there that you can ask yourself. And at the end of them, they would probably said, how are you doing regarding all of these commandments? And how they can be sins against God, you know. And they are there to make us realize that we are caught up with this old nature of ours that's still with us. And we need to hear something of a deliverance note. Now, Ezekiel, in his book, tells Israel, those Israelites, that there's going to come a day when they will return to their land and be able to live there. That's some good news. At the same time, Ezekiel is also telling about what's going to happen to sinful Judea and Jerusalem, who were engaged in all kinds of sins yet. They were not in captivity. They still had a king ruling over them, and he said, soon that nation is also going to be destroyed, and they will be taken into captivity if they don't turn to God in repentance. So all of this is the law of God speaking to us, and every day is a call for all of us to repentance. But when we think about repentance, we also need to think that God has done something very wonderful to release us from our sins. And that's what the gospel message is all about. And you heard it especially in the epistle reading for today, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to pay the penalty of sin for every one of you and everyone in this world, really. On the cross, he was bearing the burden of sin of all humanity. Can you imagine that? And he was feeling the forsakenness that God the Father seemed to be giving him. And he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And we know that was the declaration that he had paid the full penalty for all of our sins. And the Bible and the scriptures and the gospel of the Bible tells us, turn to Jesus. Your sins will be forgiven. And when the God comes, he works in our hearts to bring us to faith in Jesus. And then there's another work that he does. He changes those hearts. He cleans them out. And he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to live a godly life, as he teaches us in the scriptures. And we willingly obey those commandments, but we are not perfect yet because we still have that old Adam. So we trip and stumble and fall. Who knows? I'd hate to think of all the times that I have stumbled and fallen into sin by my own fault, by my own reason and strength, even though I knew better. And you probably have felt the same way as you look at your life. We need to remember that we are still sinners. But we are sinners who have had the guilt removed, the sins blotted out, and all of Christ's righteousness that he did is imputed to us believers, so that God looks upon you who are in Christ as if you were totally righteous. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about? But that's the message that we have here. And then this last verse, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God, so turn and live. And God gives us, according to the epistle reading, the power of the Spirit to help us to turn and live, to turn to Christ as our Savior and to live an obedient life in regard to his commands. But we're not saved by even the law that we do every day of our lives, keeping that law. We're saved only by that grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mentioned earlier this morning we're observing Lutheran Women's Missionary League Sunday. Most of you are familiar with that who've been members of our church body for a long time, and I used to be a counselor of our group in Missouri. And I know what wonderful work they did. I had to go through all the lists of all the missionary and mission projects that they had. Sometimes I was, for their, all the contributions that they made to all of these mission activities, was hard to believe, but they were very active. And that's the way it is all over our synod with the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And we thank you for your generosity, your support for that mission to get the word of law and gospel out to the nations and to redeem those souls that God loves, every one of them. So in closing, are there any of you here feeling weighted down by your sins this morning? Weighted down. I don't know. Maybe you are. But I would have you, if you have time, go to 1 John in your Bibles and hear what he has to say. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That was happening to those Israelites. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For Christ's sake, he does this. Let us all take hold of this good news and depart in the peace of the Lord. I don't know what more I can say, but amen. Let it be so. Amen.